It's gonna be one of them days. Morning. So, this morning's sermon's gonna be short. It's actually, I wrote the sermon, and when I went through it, it took me 5 minutes, and that was breathing three times to get through it. So, I was told to slow down, take more breaths, and that would add an extra 2 minutes to it. I also went through and I found two Wednesday night invitations that I gave in the past that actually tie into this sermon. So this sermon has a little something for everybody. The main part of the sermon, and I hate to put three of my kids on the spot, is directed at them. So with that being said, part one is having compassion for each other. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 30 through 37 states, "Then Jesus answered and said, a certain man went down to Jerusalem, to Jericho, and fell among thieves, who stripped him of his clothing, wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a certain priest came down that road, and when he saw him, he passed by the other side. Likewise, when he arrived at the place, came, looked, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and he set him on his own animal and brought him to an inn and took care of him. On the next day, he departed, and he took out 2 denarii and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and whatever you spend, when I come again, I will repay you. So which of these three do you think was a neighbor to him? Who fell among the thieves? And Jesus said, he showed mercy on him. And he said, he who showed mercy on him. And then Jesus said to him, go and do likewise. Compassion is a emotion or feeling of deep sympathy and sorrow for another person's distress or misfortune. It entails having a strong desire to alleviate their suffering as part of mercy and forgiveness. This can be seen in Matthew chapter 18, verses 20 through 35, where the ruler was going to collect what was owed to him by a certain man who owed him 10,000 talents. He couldn't pay. He was going to throw him in prison, paraphrasing. He took mercy on him, let him go, and that same person went and found someone who owed him 100 denarii and threw him in prison. When the master found out about it, he no longer had compassion on the one that he had forgave. With that being said, you and I must look to God as the ultimate example of compassion. Countless times God has extended his compassion and forgiveness and mercy to his people. In Psalms 78 and verse 38, it states, but he, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and did not destroy them. Yes, many a time he turned his anger away and did not stir up all his wrath. We see that God had compassion on the children of Israel many times when they rebelled against him. In Lamentation chapter 3 and verse 22, it states, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassion fails not. God's love and compassion for us is ultimately shown by him providing a perfect sacrifice and atonement for our sins, his only begotten Son, in John chapter 3 and verse 16. When we examine the life of Jesus, the main characteristic that stands out is his demonstrated love and compassion for the people he came into contact with. He met their needs. We see this in Matthew chapter 20, verses 29 through 34, Matthew 15, 32 through 39. If you were in dire straits and deep trouble, in a situation where you needed someone to assist you because you could not help yourself, would you want someone to have compassion on you? In Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 37, we learn of such a man in a situation in need of love and compassion, and how that need was met with the expectations that we do likewise. Therefore, let us be encouraged to have love and compassion with one another, towards one another, with the spirit of forgiveness and mercy, to love one another as God has loved us. In chapter 3, verses 8 and 9, finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another, love as brothers, be tenderhearted, be courteous, not returning evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, blessings, knowing that you were called to this, that you may inherit a blessing. True compassion includes concern for the soul and the sharing of salvation that God offers. Which leads me to part two, which is what I entitled The Recipe for Salvation. At my house, I like to cook, and I like to make a huge mess when I do it, because everybody knows if you don't make a mess, it ain't gonna taste good. So, what does it take to become a Christian? First, you must follow the recipe, which is laid out in the Bible. Like any recipe, you must follow the directions. If I wanted to make chicken and noodles, and the recipe calls for chicken breast that is cooked and shredded, I probably shouldn't use tofu. In addition, if I'm wanting it to turn out right, I should not take extra liberties by adding or taking away from it. If it calls for salt and pepper, I shouldn't use a Cajun allspice, because it's not going to taste the same. At some point in your spiritual journey, you are going to ask, what must I do to become a Christian? In His wisdom, God has given us a very simple 5-step recipe. Therefore, the first step we need to do is hear and study God's Word. Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. This can be done by attending services, participating in public Bible studies, or reading the Bible privately. After studying, you will either believe or not. If you believe, then step two will be completed. John chapter 20 and verse 31. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. When we become Christians, we have to make some changes in our lives and to turn away from those thoughts and actions that separate us from God. Jesus called this repentance. In Luke chapter 13 and verse 5, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. These changes can be uncomfortable and sometimes very difficult, but they will change your life for the better and help you on your path towards heaven. Thankfully, if you do not have to go this alone. God said, as we draw close to Him, He draws close to us, in James chapter 4 and verse 8. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. We make important commitments such as marriage by announcing it to witnesses. When we become Christians, we must confess our sins, confess our beliefs to others. Luke chapter 12, verses 8 and 9. Also I say to you, whoever confesses me before men, the Son of Man also will confess before the angels of God, but he who denies me before men will be denied before the angels of God. This confirms to others and yourself that you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You also become blessed by the most powerful support system known to man, God's church. When you are ready to be saved, and God commanded a specific section. Jesus taught that this is the moment that in which a person is born again and is on his or her way to heaven. This is baptism. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 21, there is also an antitype which now saves us. Baptism, not the removal of filth from the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In Romans chapter 6, starting in verse 3, going through verse 11, or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in a newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. God depicted it as a funeral for the old man, of sin. In it, his process for completely burying your former life with all its troubles, cares, problems, and becoming born again into a new life through the burial in water. When you come up out of the water, you will start your new life as a Christian. This 2,000-year-old plan is simple, very powerful. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and be baptized for the forgiveness of sins, as demonstrated in the book of Acts, chapter 2, starting in verse 41. Then those who gladly received his word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Then the fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common, and sold their possessions and goods, and divided it among all as anyone had need. So continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and the breaking of bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. God's plan of salvation is freeing. We invite you to take the first step towards a greater fulfillment of your purpose in life here on earth, as well as taking hold of the promise of heaven, where we will get to spend our eternity with God. Please let us know if there's anything that we can do to help you on your spiritual journey. In conclusion, part 3, Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, a time for everything. There is an appointed time for everything. There is a time for every event under heaven, a time to give birth, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot what is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to tear down, and a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to throw stones, and a time to gather stones, a time to embrace and a time to shun embracing, a time to search and a time to give up as lost, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear apart and a time to sew together, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love, a time to hate, a time for war, a time for peace. What profit is there to the work for that in which he toils? I have seen the tasks which God has given the sons of men with which to occupy themselves. We never like to leave a service without an invitation. As stated in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, there is a time for everything. We are not granted tomorrow. We don't know what will come from one minute to the next. So now is the time to ask God for repentance if you need it, to ask for forgiveness. If you choose to be baptized, now is the time to do it. We will find water. Come as we stand and sing.